So as I listened to the lesson that was recorded from last Sunday, I noted that in, as far as in the lesson book went, we were right about here in the middle of page 190, because it talks about, in here somewhere, it's talking about Titus going back to Corinth. Mickey got confused as to who he sent. So he said Timothy at first, and then later corrected himself to Titus, which is the right answer. That's in chapter 19, I think, somewhere near the end. I didn't look that up specifically, but no, that's still Ephesus. Let me find that. You know, it said that parted to go into Macedonia in chapter 20 and verse 1. Oh, am I in the wrong place? Anyway, he's Ephesus for Greece. Yeah, I thought that he had gone to Troas, and I'm missing it here. And where he said that he didn't find Titus. It's in 2 Corinthians. Okay, I'm looking for it in the 2 Corinthians 2:12. Okay. Yeah, I knew that we jumped back and forth there. Yeah, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when the door was opened to me in the Lord, I had no relief in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went forth into Macedonia. So we had finished up on Sunday, really, about talking about Paul's visit to the city of Ephesus. How long was that visit? 3 years, right. And there was something that I saw somewhere, somebody said 2 years, over 2 years, and then Mickey's got somewhere said about 3.5 years. So we're going to go with the average of that, which is 3 years, which I believe also in, is it in 1 Corinthians? It talks about that he was, no, it's in Acts 20, I think, that talked about that he was there for 3 years. Verse 31 of chapter 20, Acts 20 and verse 31, talking to the elders from Ephesus, he says, "Wherefore watch ye, remembering that by the space of 3 years I cease not to admonish everyone night and day with tears." So as he's talking to the elders from Ephesus, we realize that he says here that he was in Ephesus for 3 years. Now, of course, we can take that as an approximate number. I mean, 2.5 years or 2 years and 8 months or 3.5 years is close enough to 3 years to just say 3 years. We don't tell people that we were in Egypt for 1 year and 9 months. We tell them we were there for almost 2 years. And people ask. So, but what I wanted to do was go through the just fill in the blanks things for what we've got, excuse me, on lesson 48, and make sure that we all understand what we're looking at here. As a matter of fact, I want to go through all the way to the end of lesson 48 as far as filling the blanks in, though we won't be at the end of lesson 48, I don't think, by the end of this class period. When it says here in the second sentence that Paul returned through the same regions he had visited on each of his other trips, what two regions were those, as mentioned in Acts 18:23? And Phrygia. Galatia and Phrygia. Those were the two places that he went through. So, let me pull the map up here. So, if we look at the map on page 192, I think it is, we see that Paul says that as he was leaving from... Where did all these journeys of his start at? Antioch of Syria, right there, right? Right on the Orontes River. And if they were to sail out of there, they'd go down here to Seleucia, and then they'd take a ship and go to where they needed to go. That's what they did on the first journey. So, but here we note in this instance on Paul's third journey that once again he left from Antioch and went through, says, exhorting the churches that were there in Galatia and Phrygia. Now, if we look at that, we see that here's a little thing called Phrygia right here, and here's Galatia right here. I have another map. This is just a map I got off the internet that shows, and I want to just talk about this a little bit, because you'll remember that in one occasion here, that Paul was wanting to go up north here. And it said that the Holy Spirit forbade him from going to where? From going to Asia. And also, I think, told him he couldn't go to Bithynia either, right? But he went over here to this area where Troas was, and that's where he ended up. But you see here Galatia, and then underneath it, Lycia, and above it, Bithynia. But if we go to the next chart that I have here, you'll see that actually the whole area was divided up into all sorts of things. But the thing is that the major provinces were things like Galatia and over here Asia, and then Lycia down here is where the names of the provinces. And in that were these territories that were different. It's like saying Quartz Hill, you know. Quartz Hill technically is part of Lancaster, part of it is, and part of it's part of Palmdale. But there is no city named Quartz Hill. There's no incorporated city named that. So much like that, these areas right here that we've talked about a lot, Mysia and Lydda and Pamphylia and Lycaonia and Cappadocia and Cilicia and all these things, they're not provinces. But Galatia is, and so is Bithynia, and so is Lycia. And so Ephesus, which is over here somewhere, was the capital of Asia, and then the capital of Galatia was nominally Antioch, and then the capital of Lycia, I don't remember if I even remember what the name was. But when we go back to this, we'll see that, though, if you look on some of the maps that we have in our book, it appears that Galatia doesn't extend down this far. Well, I did some reading on the history of Galatia, and what happened is that the reason that it even got named Galatia is that the Gauls came down from Europe and sort of invaded areas of Greece, Macedonia, and these areas down here, and finally came into the area that we essentially call Asia Minor today, and they settled sort of up in this northeast area up here. It appears that these Gauls were not set on conquest, according to the reports that I read, but rather they were just set on relocation. And of course, if I lived here in France and Germany and things like that, I think I'd rather much go down here to the Mediterranean area, where the climate is a lot more temperate. So even though in this area they've got mountains and things, but it's still not nearly as cold as it is up here. So they sort of migrated down there, and so in the, I don't know, 200s BC, somewhere in that area, they settled here in this northeast area, and this area came to be called after them and came to be called by the Greeks and the Romans Galatia or something similar to that. And so this area just right here was Galatia for a while. But when Rome solidified its hold over the entire area, it expanded the area of Galatia down to include the cities that we've been talking about, that it's Antioch of Pisidia, and so isn't that one of the ones that I'm hearing? So to include these areas of Pisidia and Lycaonia and Pamphylia and Phrygia, all of these areas became part of Galatia.
What would that be? Turkey, Syria?
Yeah, no, this whole area is Turkey.
Turkey.
Syria is still over here, and the next one over here is Iraq? I think it's Iraq, okay? Because we've got Iraq, then Afghanistan, then Iran, I think, is the way it goes. So when we go over here to Bible lands, all of that area right there essentially is Turkey. Let me turn on borders and see if it will show us where all of these places are. Yeah. Okay. So if we come out a little bit, you see that Turkey is actually quite a big thing. So Turkey, all of that area through here, then Syria down there. And here we've got Iraq that touches right on the southeastern border of Turkey. I believe, right, I think that's Afghanistan right there. Is that right? There's Afghanistan there. Oh, interesting. Okay. I don't know where half these things are. So apparently, according to this map anyway, both Iran and Iraq border Turkey. And then Afghanistan's over here before you get to India. Now we've all got that clear, right? And we'll never forget it again, I'm sure. Yeah. So, So that's the area that we're talking about in modern language today, or in modern such today. So the areas that we're looking at, though, now still have some names that are vaguely familiar to us. But you'll notice that a lot of it is either hilly or mountainous country. There's a lot of areas that have borders almost like states that we have today that probably have a lot of natural boundaries like, rivers and mountains and things like that. But if we go back to this guy, and look at the area that I labeled Asia right here, you know, normally we think of Asia as stuff way off over here. But they had a province of Rome that was called Asia. And so that's what that area was. And there were a number of important cities in it, including many of the areas that we're talking about today. Now, as we go back to our book, we realize that Paul's been going on this journey, going through these territories or provinces or whatever. And you see right here that it's showing Galatia coming way down here like this. And you notice, though, that territory of Lycaonia is in here, but that includes cities that Paul has gone to preach the gospel. Previously they set in here at Perga, and they went up to Antioch, right? And then where'd they go? To Iconium, to Lystra, and to Derbe. And then they went back that way, and then they went over here to Ephesus on the first journey, I think, if I recall. Pardon? Until the second journey, yeah, right, okay. And then, I think they went back here, and then they sailed back to Antioch. Yeah, can't remember that. That was just two journeys ago. The thing I wanted to note here is that as we go through, Paul and Silas were going through here, and they were encouraging the people in the churches that had already been established. And then they went over here to Ephesus, and they were there for quite a while, approximately 3 years. Now, one thing that I want, and while they were there, what does it say that the people in Ephesus were complaining about besides the temple of Diana? Verse 26 of chapter 19, I think is what I'm looking for here. Yeah, that they were changing their worship. It says, and you see in here that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they are no gods that are made with hands. Now, what I'd like us to look at here, though, is when we look at the territory of Asia, first of all, Paul went to preach the gospel, what, right? When he left, what was established there? Churches, right? Churches in various cities. So we've looked at a number of cities here. Actually, when we start to count them up, you know, there's actually a lot of churches mentioned in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. But which churches in particular do we see here in Asia that actually we get to talking about a little bit later on in the Bible? A whole set of churches. Revelation 2 and 3. Now notice we've got Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and of course Ephesus. Now, what I'd like us to do is to just turn quickly to the book of Revelation, and we'll just have a verse by verse study of the book of Revelation today, and just go through the whole thing. Sounds good. But let's just look quickly at this, and
chapter two and three.
So, Chris, if you just walk me through the cities that are there, right? The first one we start off with is Ephesus, right? And then where?
Smyrna.
And
then to Pergamum.
Then to?
Thyatira.
Sardis.
Philadelphia.
And Laodicea. Now notice that makes a nice little circle, essentially starting off from Ephesus. Now we see that the New Testament says that Paul and the folks that were with him were there in Ephesus for 2 years preaching the gospel. But we note that while they were there for 2 years preaching the gospel, that they didn't just stay there in the synagogue or in their church building at Ephesus for 3 years. It would appear, though there's no indication of it anywhere as to when these were established, that at some time he or somebody else went around about the cities of Asia and proclaim the gospel. Yes?
Well, also from 19, it appears that people came to him.
Yeah.
At the school of Tyrannus, it said that he taught there for 2 years and sold back all of the nations of the world. So here those coming to school, et cetera, because we're coming from other parts of the region than we were back.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, I don't know whether it was the commentator I was reading or these people in the in our lesson book said that, well, it was not necessarily that Paul had to go out here and do this, but the people went out there and did that. Or, as you say, Chris, that many of them probably came from areas of Asia to visit here in the city of Ephesus and to inquire of Paul and the people that were there in the church at Ephesus. And so we see here that while Paul was in Ephesus, that the word went out, and we see by the time we get to the book of Revelation, we see at least seven other churches that aren't really mentioned to speak of anywhere else that are right in this area of Asia that we see that were established. We see also in this area of Asia that we have Colossae, and we realize that there's a letter to the Colossians. We realize that there is a letter to the province of Galatia, and so that would include a number of cities there, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, those cities that are in there. We've got quite a number of churches that we're talking about here. Now, one of the things that I was thinking about as I was looking through this lesson is that if we go to our concordances and I type in the word churches and have it just search in the New Testament for the word churches, it doesn't occur a whole lot of times, except maybe 35 times. But we're not particularly concerned about the occasions that happen in the book of Revelation, because that doesn't talk about history as things were going on. Now, we note here, though, in Acts chapter 15, that it talks about the fact that Paul and Silas went through the regions, it says, of Cilicia and, I think it said Pamphylia, didn't it? I'll have to switch back and forth here. Syria and Cilicia. So, it says on the second journey, he went through the provinces of Syria and Cilicia. And what did it say he did there? Strengthening the churches. And so here, we see that there are other churches that we don't even know about by name that are in these two provinces. Of course, we realize that there's a church in Antioch, but they left from Antioch. So, it says that they left from Antioch, he and Silas, and they went by land, strengthening the churches in Syria and Cilicia. Tarsus, of course, being Paul's hometown. So, we see that actually there's at least a plurality of churches in these two provinces right here. So, they strengthen churches there. And then, if we go back to our concordance, and look in the 16th chapter, right? Now this is where, in the 16th chapter, it says that they came to Derbe and Lystra. That's where they picked up Timothy and so on. And they were reported of by people at Lystra and Iconium. And it says they went their way through the cities and they delivered them the decrees which had been obtained by the apostles and elders that were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened. So when we look once again here, at where they are, we realize that now not only have they gone through the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, but now they're into Galatia and Lycaonia and perhaps Pamphylia, and we realize now that there are churches there. Okay, and of course those are well known to us, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, and Antioch, but there's probably others there also, realizing that they went about preaching the gospel to many places. And then a lot of these are just general things, but it talks about Paul, when he writes the book to the Romans, talks about that the churches of the Gentiles thank them and things like that. Talks about the churches of Christ. But there's, in 1 Corinthians, for example, 16 and verse 1, he talks about concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia. That's just one of the answers, by the way, fill in the blanks here. So, once again, he mentions that he's talking about the churches of Galatia. Interestingly enough, if you read commentaries on the book of Galatians, you see that there are sort of two camps in which people go to say to whom this book was written. There are people that take what's called the Northern Galatia stance. That means that they were talking to ethnic Galatians. In other words, those people that were called Galatians, in other words, the Gauls and things like that. And if I had the commentary open, I'd show you that there's a number of cities that he mentions that they felt that they had established churches in. But those churches are never mentioned in the New Testament, so it's difficult to say whether or not they went up there. But we realize that while they were at Ephesus for 3 years, that they went about preaching. We see that there are other times when they were at other churches that they went about preaching in the areas of Galatia also. So it's entirely possible they could have gone up to northern Galatia to preach and such like as that. And then there's the southern Galatian tribe thought that says that what he's talking about really is the Roman Galatia, and that we're talking about the churches that we read about in the book of Acts. But we see that a lot of preaching was done in that area, and that there were a number of congregations, most likely that we don't even read about in the New Testament, that have been established in Galatia and Asia and other areas of what we refer to as Asia Minor, or now we can refer to as Turkey. So as we look in our concordance, we see that Paul mentions about preaching to the churches in Asia, and then in Galatia rather, and then just further on down in verse 19 of chapter 16, he mentions to the folks at Corinth that the churches in Asia salute you. So once again, we've got all those churches that we talked about that are in Asia, which as far as identifiable churches goes, exceeds quite a bit the number of churches that we see that we can identify in Galatia. Now, notice here when we go on to the second book of Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul talks to the people at Corinth about we make known to you the grace of God which hath been given in the churches of Macedonia. So now once again we've got churches in another area, and in that the area of Macedonia. And so we realize that Paul a couple of times had traveled from Troas up here to Neapolis and up to Philippi and all those areas. So we realize that there are a number of congregations in Macedonia. And so ones that we are familiar with, of course, Philippi, Thessalonica, and most likely in Berea. We realize that those are the people that study the scriptures daily. They were willing to study the scriptures with Paul and the people that were with him. And so we can assume that there was a congregation probably here in Berea also. And then when we go back here and look at our churches again down here, then in Galatians 1:22, Paul talks about the fact that he's talking to them about his trips around to preach the gospel. And it mentions that he went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, preaching the gospel and so on. And in verse 22, but he says, but at that time, and I believe this is Paul's second trip to Jerusalem that he's referring to. I think there are three trips to Jerusalem, and I think the middle trip was one where he didn't contact any of the other people that were there. It might have been first trip, I think he met the apostles, right? And they introduced him to folks. But I think the second time he went down there, he didn't really contact anybody. He went down there for the purpose of determining whether or not he was preaching the proper gospel. But notice that it says that at that time that I was unknown unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. If we go back to our map again, we understand that, and we don't see Judea very, very definitively here, but it's in this area down here. We realize that at the end, if you go down to page 194, I believe it is, in your book, 193, sorry, we see the end of Paul's third preaching journey, or preaching tour, or whatever you want to call it. And we see that as he came down back, he was on his way back to Jerusalem, rather than going directly to Antioch this time. So he went down, and they sailed by, it says they had Cyprus on the left-hand side, which, as we all know, he was supposed to say port side, because that's a naval term. But and they touched at Tyre, Ptolemais, Caesarea, and then came into Jerusalem. If you'll notice, at the end of this lesson on page 193, it talks about brethren at Tyre, Ptolemais, and Caesarea. Now, these may not technically be in Judea, but they are essentially in the land of Israel, as it were, or the land of Palestine. We realize now that when we're looking at discussions about that a collection had to be taken up for the needy saints that were in Jerusalem, or that a collection was taken up and given to the elders of the churches in Judea, that we realize that we can identify quite a number, actually, of churches that were in the Palestine area that would meet the discussion that we have here about where these funds were taken for different reasons. So we realize that there was a church in Jerusalem. We realize, I believe, that there was a church in Joppa, in Caesarea, Ptolemais, and Tyre, because we see that as we look at these events in the book of Acts, we realize that they landed at Tyre, they went and saluted the saints. They went down to Ptolemais, and they got off the boat, and they went up and saluted the saints. They went up to Caesarea, and they got off the ship, and they saluted the saints. That was the end of, on this one, that was the end of their sea journey. And we see that they were at Caesarea for a few days there, and that's where Paul, of course, received his notification that he was going to be in a bit of trouble when he got to Jerusalem, but he was determined to go there anyway. But I think what we need to understand is that when we talk about the all of the churches salute you or the churches of Christ salute you, we're not talking about a small group of people. We're talking about a number of congregations throughout a large region. And, of course, the church, as we know, is just starting off, as it were. I mean, the church has only been in existence for a few decades here, whereas, today, it's been in existence for almost a couple of millennia. So we realize that something that started off here in Jerusalem at the time when the quickest, probably, method of travel was by the ship that they were taking, that they were spreading the gospel over a very, very large region, and we can identify just numerous churches all over the place. And really, when I got to thinking about it, I thought that, really, there's Paul, just like we, has got brethren everywhere. You know, a lot of us, when we take trips, head off to the East Coast or something like that, it's very comforting to know that within a few miles, or not too terribly many miles, we can find brethren who believe the same thing that we do. That's always been, when Linda and I were making a trip off to Florida once, and we drove from New Mexico to Florida to visit my parents, you know, we found brethren in a number of places. In one place we were at, Baton Rouge, I think it was, somebody who didn't know us from Adam, you know, offered to let us stay at their house that night, that they weren't going to be there. They were going out of town. He said, here's the keys. So, you know, it's the first time they'd ever met us. So that's interesting to know. I know Chris has had the same similar experiences when he's been off on his trips, that, you know, that it's nice to know that you can go to places. Sure, Jonathan, you've been around, that you've met the people that are thrilled to know that you took the time to be with them. That's a good thing to know. But one thing I just wanted us to be aware of that perhaps I think about from time to time when I read some of the things that we're talking about in the book of Acts, and it talks about the churches of Christ, or then it talks about the churches of Judea or Galatia or the churches of various places around here. It says that he went through strengthening churches in Cilicia and Syria. That we're not talking about just one or two people here. We're talking about a lot of people that are Christians in these areas. Now, one other thing that I find really amazing is that they're able to do this with the modes of transportation and the methods of communication that they had at those times. We today, I mean, our methods of communication are almost instantaneous. And our modes of transportation, as far as they're concerned, are almost instantaneous too. You know, when we were discussing way much further back in this history and geography of the Bible story about the fact that the folks were coming down from Babylonian captivity, and we saw that Ezra and Nehemiah were bringing them down, how long did it take them to get from Babylonia to Jerusalem? 3 or 4 months. We're not talking, oh, well, honey, I'll see you later tonight. I'm going up to Cilicia. No. And when you get to thinking about it, I was reading probably one of the longest books I've ever read in my life, The Memoirs of Alexander Campbell. And he was talking about their preaching excursions in the eastern United States, northeastern United States. And they didn't just go off for a gospel meeting for a week. They said, bye, honey, and they came back in 6 or 8 months later. Matter of fact, I think he lost 2 wives that way. Came back and found that they'd died. And, you know, some of his children had, you know, perished, fallen in rivers and things like that. And you go, okay, you know, it's like, hey, how's things going today? Or, well, your wife died and a couple of your kids are gone. The thing is that we'd know about that today, immediately, if not sooner, and we could just jet back home. But in those days, even back in the early to mid 1800s, when Alexander Campbell and Barton Stone were running around that area preaching the gospel, we realized that even at that time, that the methods of transportation and the modes of communication were such that it was weeks and months before you could get any communication between one another. And so it's amazing that I think that they were actually able to go on these trips and go on these journeys, and that when they came back the second time, to actually find anybody still there. You know, because where is it? Is it in Galatians that says that I am amazed at how quickly you've fallen away? Is that Galatians? That's a horrible paraphrase. Galatians 1 and 6, where Paul says to the churches of Galatia, I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you into the grace of Christ into a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So, when Paul talks to the brethren at Galatia, so he's talking to the brethren that are in these numbers of churches right here that we know about, and perhaps others, he's saying that in between these things, now of course the authors here of this one say that on this third journey that Paul wrote the book of Galatians. And then Mickey feels that it was written somewhat earlier, and if you read through the commentaries on the book of Galatians, you'll see that there are two dates that are taken, one of which, but they're both within about 10 years of one another. So, be that as it may, however, we realize that they had gone and established these churches to begin with, and then they came back later on in the second journey and reconfirmed them or checked out to see how they're doing. And the third journey, they did the same thing. So that means, though, that the folks that were there in these churches in Galatia were without the exhortation of the person who helped them in the first place for probably several years. I'm not sure what the time span is between all these things. I think that it mentioned here in the lesson book that the whole journey thing took at least, 10 years to take all three journeys or something like that. It was a long time. But the thing is that they're covering hundreds and actually I think this is thousands of miles here once we get to thinking about it. And how do you suppose that Paul and his companions, as far as when they left from Antioch here on this third journey, how do you suppose that they got to where they were going? They have a trolley they were taking or a stagecoach or a... Probably by foot. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, it's hard enough for us to walk 5 miles. But think about it. Look at the scale of miles down here. 300 miles is about yay long, you know. And you look at that and you go, there's about 300, and there's about another 300, and there's about another 300, there's about another so, and another, it's 1,200, 1,500 miles. All on your little feet. So, number one, when we're walking at a brisk pace, how fast do we walk, approximately?
About a mile a minute.
Wow, that'd be good. That's 60 miles an hour. But I need to try that one out. My understanding is that at a brisk pace, we walk about 3 miles an hour. Pardon? Oh, okay. All right. So, you know, Chris would walk 5 miles an hour at a brisk pace because his length is longer. And those of you that are shorter, you might walk only 2 miles an hour. Just at a regular walking pace, nothing laborious, maybe about 3 miles an hour. And so if we're talking about, say this is a 1,500-mile trip, and if we're talking about, 3 miles an hour, and if you're going to walk 1,500 miles, you can imagine 3 into 15 is 500 hours, right? Which is more than a day, as far as I can figure. Jenny, how many days is 500 hours? And, the thing is that they stopped.
181.
So it's 20-something days. It's a month just of solid walking. But the thing is that they stopped and they preached and they stayed and they did other things and all of that stuff. It's just imagine what they went through to establish all these churches. And even if they found a mule somewhere, a donkey or something that they could take, that's not going to up their speed too much. The donkeys they would have used mules, I think. Which one's the hybrid? The mule. So the donkey. So if they had donkeys, it's not like they're going to be galloping at 10 or 15 miles an hour. They're going to be walking maybe 5 miles an hour. So all that would ease their feet a little bit. But just think about the saddle sores that they'd had. I know that I went on, the kids and I went on an excursion once in Colorado, a 4-hour horseback ride. And by the time we were done with 4 hours of horseback riding, I was dead. I mean, I was surprised that I could even walk back to the car. So, but it was, the thing that I simply wanted to point out is that we've got a number of instances in the New Testament that talks about the churches of this, the churches of that, the churches of Christ salute you. What I would like us to understand is that they weren't as few and far between as we might think. I mean, when we look at it here on the map, we can't think that it's like it is, for example, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, for example, where they have 5 congregations that are actually non-institutional and a couple of or 3 others that are institutional just in one city. You go down to Nashville or someplace like that and other places in the Bible Belt, it's like there's a Church of Christ on every corner. But the fact of the matter is that these are not all that far away. And the New Testament has not given us the names of every church that they've established, because after all, when it says that they were establishing the churches in Syria and Cilicia, we don't have the names of any churches in Syria or Cilicia other than Antioch. But they said churches of Syria and Cilicia. So we know that there were churches in here that were there. And I just wanted us to understand that really when it comes down to it, people will say, like the experience that Linda and I had in Baton Rouge and other people have had in other places, that a lot of times we'll say, well, it's a small world. But really what we want to understand is that it's a big family. And there's people everywhere. And even at this time, when the church was just starting out, there were people everywhere. Perhaps on Sunday, we'll get back to where Mickey was on going from Ephesus to Troas and then up to Macedonia and his disappointment at not being able to find Titus. All right. That's where we'll end it right now. We should do the questions for lesson 48.